So Mark chapter number 6, and I just want to read three verses as a text. Mark chapter number 6, just verses 30 through 32. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both that they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure, so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. Now, most things in the Bible do not happen in a vacuum. If you've ever heard that phrase, you know, things affect other things. And events and thoughts lead up to things in the Bible, then you'll see the results of them. But so many things work together. It fits together. That's why I say, and I've got my little saying that I use, that if you want to understand the word, you read the verse. If you want to understand the verse, you read the chapter. If you want to understand the chapter, read the book. If you want to understand the book, read the whole Bible. But you get in there, and context will help you so much in understanding what's going on. Just read the verses around it. See what's going on. What led up to it? What happened because of it? And you can learn a lot, and especially difficult passages with that. In the case of our text, there's quite a bit of action leading up to it. Just staying here in Mark chapter number 6, if you go back, and I'm just going to mention this, but if you go back to verse 7, you'll see that Christ sends the 12 disciples out on a preaching ministry. They go out. He's commissioned them. They go throughout the land preaching and proclaiming Christ, and it's an amazing time. They come back. They're excited about what they had seen, what God had used them to do. But also they're tired. It takes something to do the work. It zaps you. It wears you down. At the same time, news has come that John the Baptist has been murdered by Herod. I'd love to get into that story. I like talking about John the Baptist, but Herod is haunted by that sin. And hearing about Christ and these disciples going around preaching about Christ, you know, he's thinking, oh my goodness, is John the Baptist back? Did he rise from the dead? Who is this guy? He's worried. His conscience is pricked because of Christ. So here we are, the disciples are tired. They're both excited at what they've seen God do, but they're also a little bit scared. I mean, a guy on their team, John the Baptist, just got his head taken off. They don't want to be next. They're confused. And you'll see that as you continue on this chapter, that the people are confused. They're worried. But I also want you to note that Christ knows all of this. He sees it. He recognizes it. I remind you that he is the good shepherd. He knows what we need. He will not withhold it from us. When we need green pastures, he'll guide us to those. When we need the still waters, he'll take us to those. When we need rest and restoration, he can provide it. When we walk through the darkest of valleys, he walks beside us. That is who he is. That is what he does. I was reminded here, and I've preached from this passage before, but over in 1 Kings 19, Elijah there. And, Elijah, you read those chapters going up to that. I mean, Elijah was a guy that appears on the scene, says, all right, folks, it's not going to rain until I pray again. And then he goes to the brook Cherith. God takes care of him there. He goes up and, lives with the widow, and God provides just enough food and then raises the widow's son from the dead. I think that was the first resurrection in the Bible, if I remember right. I may be wrong on that. It's off the top of my head. But he sees all these amazing things. And then he raises up and he challenges Ahab and all those false prophets of Baal to a challenge. They meet at Mount Carmel. And there, the prophets of Baal, they pray, they cut themselves, they do all this crazy stuff. Their God, of course, can't answer their prayer. He's fake. But then he prays a short little prayer, and fire falls from heaven, consumes that sacrifice that they had soaked in water. It's a miracle. It's a high point. They slaughter all those prophets of Baal, kill them all. He prays, rain returns. Kind of felt like last night a little bit here. And all the rain comes in and he races the chariot back. I think he's like going hooping and hollering, having a little bit of a fit there, going, you know, praising the Lord is, you know, following that that chariot back. And boy, that's a high point, isn't it? Boy, that's amazing. But what's the next thing that happened? Oh, Jezebel came along and said, son, you're dead. I'm killing you. And he said, whoops, I didn't sign up for this. And he hightailed it south and went down the wilderness. And the next place we see it, he's sitting under a juniper tree wishing that God would kill him. How did God respond to him? I love this. Read the passage. He let Elijah take a nap. Naps are amazing things. He sent an angel with food. He took another nap, gave him more food. Then he sent him to Mount Horeb. And there God appeared to him and gave him a new commission, a new mission. Says, I'm not done yet. Let's go back. Let's get back to work. And there's so much more we could talk about that. But I kind of think something similar is happening in our passage to what happened to Elijah. The disciples are tired. In their hearts, there's a strange mixture of excitement. All the things they just saw God do on their missions trip that they were on. But also, like I say, dude, they're physically tired. Then they got this deal. John the Baptist just got killed. There's such worry in their minds. So what did Christ do? What did he say to them? Did he berate them? Did he scold them? Say, well, if you only had more faith, you could have kept going. How dare you? See the need, let's get back to work. No, he doesn't do that. Did he tell them, says, okay, boys, get up, dust pants off, let's get back to work. No lollygagging around here. It's a great word, lollygagging. Says, we're going to get back to work. No, what does he do? He knows the weariness of their mind and their body. And he says, gentlemen, we need to take a break. Let's get away for a bit. Folks, life gets rough and hectic sometimes, doesn't it? I don't have to remind y'all. Add to just the general cares of life what you encounter serving God, you're going to run out of energy sometimes. You know, we're not built to be the Energizer Bunny. And he keeps going and going and going and going. You know, sometimes we got to stop. You ever think about how weird humans are? I don't know if y'all have ever thought about this. I have. You ever think about how weird humans are? You spend like a third of your day unconscious because your body can't handle being awake for 24 hours. You conk out, you sleep. That's the way you're designed. You don't even have the ability to make it through a day or very many of those in a line without just collapsing. We are designed to have downtime to just be able to function. Waste all that time sleeping, you know? But like I say, again, naps are awesome, okay? We'll go back to that. But you know, sometimes in this life, you need to just step away. Sometimes you need to reset and refresh. I was thinking about this because I was thinking about camp. And also, I almost preached about what I wish I could bring back from camp to you. And I almost preached on that, and the Lord took me a little bit different direction. But that's part of the reason I was looking at this verse. I was looking at ideas in the Bible about times people got away, where they just, like, not necessarily a vacation idea, but just they had to stop, get away, reset. God had to work with them a little bit. I thought about Elijah, and I settled on this passage because I think it fits so well. But, you know, part of the great beauty of summer camp for the kids is they get away. They get disconnected from this world. They're not allowed to have their phones. Some of our kids had the shakes after a couple days. You know, it was, I can't say anything. I get the shakes after, you know, a few hours. So, now, at camp, you don't necessarily get all the physical rest. There's not a lot of physical rest going on, unless you are Rosie and you get that good afternoon nap in. But you know, that spiritual nourishment that you get. They get unplugged from the world, and they're in chapel couple times a day. The Bible's being taught. They're hearing all this. I love the music there. They got choirs and ensembles and stuff. It is just beautiful, choral kind of classical kind of music. I love it. I just love their music. And, you know, they're hearing all this just beautiful music and this beautiful words of praise being sung. They have times with their counselors. There's their little personal God and I time. They got their little book they're working through. They've got scripture memory. All these different things are working on them. And so God, it's like God unhooks them from all the junk food of this world. And now they're getting all those good spiritual nutrients into their hearts. You know, if we could pull it off, I think it'd be a good thing to load up all us adults. Let's go away for a week, take away everybody's phones, sit in some chapel services a couple times a day, and just let God work on us. Honestly, that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? I think it would do us a whole lot of good. Maybe we need an adult summer camp. I would not make you play some of those games that they played, but... But, you know, even while I was there, and I'm trying to a little bit unplug a little bit while I'm there, and but still, you know what I'm doing? I'm checking my phone because I know there's things going on. I don't want to miss if somebody has something. I'm paranoid. I would love to just leave my phone, walk off for a few hours. I'm afraid one of y'all are going to need me. Like I said, it's a paranoia thing that I have. But, you know, I'm checking my email. I'm checking text. Okay. Oh, hey, somebody text me. Okay. All right. Well, this is going on. I just, you know, trying to be there, trying to be available and stuff like that. It's very difficult for me to get away. It's hard to completely unplug. But anyway, I just want to very quickly give you a few thoughts on the ideas of finding rest and refreshment in the Lord from this passage. Just a few simple thoughts here this morning for you. First, I want you to note that they were apart, but not alone. They were apart, but not alone. When Christ speaks to them, he says, come ye yourselves. Ye is plural. Okay, I'll break down basic grammar here for you. But he wasn't saying y'all all need to scatter. He's saying we as a group, we need to get away. He was not saying that John needed to go to Branson and Peter to Ruidosa and James to Broken Bow and Thomas go down to the hill country. I was trying to think of all the places we go. He wasn't saying that, but he's saying, guys, we need to get away. We're a team. We're brothers. We need to get away and encourage one another. We need to get away and be together. This is part of what's special, I believe, about when a church meets, what we're doing here this morning. We come together out of the world, and we come into a place, and we've got our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we are gathered together. We're not apart. I mean, yes, we have a personal walk with God, but how beautiful is that walk when we're walking alongside others and we're helping and encouraging one another? We come together with a purpose to glorify God and also to align our hearts and our minds to His truth. It's a checkup. I remember reading in, it's been years since I read the book, but Corey Ten Boom's book, The Hiding Place. And one of the stories that stuck with, of all the things in that book, one of the stories that stuck with me was a story about her father very early in the book. And he was worked on clocks and stuff. They had all these clocks and things. And every week he would hop on the train and he would go, and I don't remember, he went to this other town, and there on the, you know, big clock on a tower, that was the official time. Every week he would go, and he had a pocket watch that was very, very, very accurate. And he would go and he would set his watch according to the official time, get on the train and come back, and then set all the clocks in his shop according to that official time. You know, that's what we do when we gather. We're just resetting. We're refreshing. We're seeing, okay, boy, I'm drifting a little bit. Boy, we're realigning ourselves. That's an important aspect of when we get together. But again, we don't need to do that alone. We do that together. We do that together alone, but not apart, but not alone. Second, and I've kind of already bled into this a little bit, I want to say it's also apart from the world. Apart from the world. He says they need to go to a desert place. Now, this isn't talking about the Sahara Desert or West Texas or something like that. It's unpopulated area. It's undeveloped area. It's something that hasn't been subdivided yet, okay? And it's this place that you go to and there's not distractions. You're getting away. And there's not even, you know, a lot of things going on, not a lot of activities to be distracted with. You're away from the city, away from the needs, away from the distractions. You know, I think I heard Dad or somebody talking about this. I said, you know, if you live any time in history, where'd you want to live? And I said, right now. I like what we have right now. Air conditioning and modern medicine. You know, we got a lot to be thankful for today. But there are times I do wish I could reset the clock about 100 years before modern communications. That idea of being on your farm all day and not talking to anybody, boy, I'd love that. That idea of, you know, somebody wants to talk to me, they got to saddle up their horse and ride an hour, and that you just can't pick up a phone and bother somebody, you know. I long for those days. I would love to see some of that. We're so hyper-connected nowadays. You know, the days when you wrote a letter and it took a month to get there. You know, read like in Little House on the Prairie and stuff like that. You read those stories. You know, I honestly do not think we are designed for the constant stimulations, notifications, alerts, and things that we have today. And that's just your cell phone. But I think even beyond that, I don't think we are designed to have the TV and the radio and just constant things going on. We've forgotten how to live in silence and commune with God and even kind of in ourselves. We've lost that. We really do need to get apart. It would do us all good to get apart. Turn the TV off, turn the radio off, shut the phone down, get apart for a while. By the way, I think that's one of the important things, even in your home. You need to put up walls because there's some things that don't need to be in the home. The home needs to be a safe place. There needs to be walls. Listen, I don't necessarily mind chickens. I just don't want them in my front yard. I just don't want them in my house, okay, when we had chickens. You know, there's a place for those things. I don't mind a lot of things. We got cats. They're not allowed in. But I like them. I like them around. They keep the mice down. They're entertaining till they go to fighting in the middle of the night and the dogs get all excited, you know. But I like having them around. I just don't want them in my house. Well, there's a lot of things in this world that are fine, but you know what? We need a place. Unplug. Get away from it. Have some safety there. And the third and final thing I want to point out to you. He says, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. So my third point is apart for a while. I have met people, and I'll be honest, I really don't understand this mindset, but I have met those people, and you probably know some. Their life is spent, their job, their energy, their money, all their focus is spent on that vacation, that cruise they're going to take, that trip to Disney World. I'm so sick of seeing adults in Disney World being all their thing. That just drives me crazy. But they get this focus, and they live their life, and it's like, oh, I hate this job, but I got to have it because I want to do this. I don't get it. You know, vacations are supposed to be a temporary relief. I'm getting away just to recharge, reset, so I can come back and get back to work, do what needs to be done. It's just a temporary respite from the drudgery of life. But, you know, vacations ought to end. I don't think our modern generation understands that. But vacations at some point have to end. You got to go home. You got to get back to work. If you keep reading here, I'm not going to go into this, but you know what happens immediately after this? They go and they try to get away. And you know what happens? Everybody follows them. And what does Christ do? He sees the needs. He says, we need to feed these guys. And what do we got? Well, we don't have money. Feeds 5,000 people. That's what happens right after this. Why? Because God sees them and he sees their hearts. They're weary too. He's trying to be a trying to meet their needs. So it's an amazing thing. Even when you try to get a part, you still find you still find that you're involved. The work never ceases for the Christian life. But just apart for a while. Just apart for a while. We don't live to be on vacation. We live to humanity. I tell you what, it was said this week, you know, the idle mind is the devil's playground, stuff like that, idle hands, and all, you know, there's all those old sayings about that. We have nothing to do. It gets us in trouble. Really does. I hate having, ask my wife, I hate a day off. I hate taking days off. I'm miserable. I don't like it because I don't know what to do with myself. It's but that's who we're built to be plugged in. We're built to be engaged. We're built to have something to do. Take a break, but get back to it. Take a break, but get back to it. All right, musicians, if you want to come, I've got a couple of really quick things here as they're coming to wrap this up. First off, when you need it, take a break. It's okay. It's okay to step back for a season. It's okay. I hate to do this. Preachers aren't supposed to say this, but you know, every now and then, it's okay to miss church. I hate to say that out loud. You know, don't take advantage of that. That's not a get out of jail free card thing, okay? But you know what? Listen, I've told some of y'all coming off of funerals and things. I've told you, stay home, take a break. You need to take a break. Sometimes you need to. Sometimes you need to unplug and take a break. It's okay. Just don't make the break become your life. Get back to it on the other side of it. But sometimes you do need to take a break. Even Jesus here says we need to take a break. Second, again, get back to the work. Don't stop. Somebody said in the ministry, you don't really retire. You just get retread. And you keep right on going with some new tread on those tires, and you keep right on rolling along. That's a pretty good motto for life. Like I say, we don't live. Listen, if my life was defined by going on cruises and Disney World and all that stuff, what a shallow, selfish life that is. No, I'm not saying it's not okay. I'm saying you can enjoy those things. But if you can't enjoy your life and your family and your job and your church and you can't enjoy your regular, quote-unquote, life, I hate to leave my regular life. I'd rather be here than anywhere else. I'd rather be in my own home than anywhere else. I don't want to escape that. I need a break from it sometimes. But I don't want to live in drudgery in my life. It's time you got to come back, take a break, but get back to work. And last, I always like to end with the gospel call. And I was thinking about the idea of rest. And, you know, there's so many folks out there that are trying to work, trying to earn God's favor. You know what the answer is for salvation? It's not to work for it. It's to rest. To rest in what Christ did for us. Yeah. To accept it. And it's not even us holding on. He's holding on. I'm glad it's not me holding on to him. My grip is terrible. I think it's all that piano playing. I don't know. But my grip is terrible. I would fall. I'm afraid if I was on one of those, you know, like movies or something, and they're hanging off the side of the cliff, I'm like, man, I'm dead. I couldn't do it. But it's not my grip, but it's his grip. The hands that made the world, the hands that will never fail, have got a hold of me. And what I do is I just rest in what he did. I hope you know what that is. If you're trying to work your way to impress God, you're doing it wrong. Just rest in the care and the love in the salvation that Christ forgives and Christ gives us. What number there? 325. 325. If you'll stand, we'll have a timely invitation. 325 in the Baptist hymnal, the gray book. Just some simple thoughts here this morning, inspired by a guy who got away for a little bit, tried to rest somewhat at camp, tried to recharge, but I think it's a good reminder for all of us. Sometimes we need to get away. Sometimes we need to take a rest, but we also have a great work we need to get back and get involved in and get to it. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, simple message here this morning. Lord, I'm so thankful that you are a shepherd. You understand that you don't drive us continually, that there are times we need the rest, we need a break, we need the refreshment, we need the encouragement. And I'm thankful that your great love provides that for us. I wish we all could understand and take refuge in that. Lord, there's a great work to do, but we don't need to burn ourselves out. There's a lot of great things we need to do, but Lord, we need to take care of ourselves. And I'm thankful that you have made it so we can find times of rest and refreshment. Again, Lord, I pray if someone's here listening online on the radio, if they hear this and they don't know that sweet rest there is in salvation through Christ, I pray that they find it. Lord, it's not about what we do, but everything that Christ did, and we just accept it and put our faith and just rest in that. I hope this has been a blessing, a challenge to us this morning. It has been for me. I pray, Lord, you bless this invitation time and drive these simple truths home to us here this morning. I pray this in our holy name. Amen.